my experience there was seeing how selfish we are as humans, or we tend to be, and we think about each other. And all my inmates and bunkies and people like that, you that were there in incarcerated with me, it was always like just wasting time, just wasting so much time, just playing cards, just acting a fool, not trying to do anything. People used to make fun of me because I used to read magazines. I found that Muscle and Fitness magazine, and I found the, do you want to become an ISA certified personal trainer? Commence your career. And that's when I called my wife. I'm like, hey, can you buy me this certified personal trainer course? They sent me my book and I started studying. And wow, I finished it so fast because I was just all day, you know, so much time available. And then like, oh, you know, continue your career, strength and conditioning, oh, nutrition, oh, this. And then it's like, hey, this is actually part of the International Sports Science Association bachelor's degree.
Jay Ehrenstein here on TSP. Estoy muy emocionado para compartir este podcast contigo. How is that?
Perfect Spanish, brother.
Perfect, ready for perfect. I'm sure I still sound like a gringo, but that's fine. So,
not at all.
How are you doing today? And tell me something good that's going on in your life.
Hey, man, I'm doing awesome. It's a pleasure to be here. We've already talked several times, you know, about training and other things, but maybe never in this more like personal, specific way. Right now, what's going on? Working on a couple things. Looks like our institute is finally being approved by the SEP, which is like the government education agency. So it looks like our institute will soon be able to do master's and bachelor's degree directly for students in Mexico. Working on that, working on expansion of our training center, and got a third baby on the way. So
congrats.
That's what's going on right now.
Yeah, that's sweet. So Jay is a coach, an educator, a translator, and I don't even know what else you do. He reached out to me a little bit ago just to talk speed training and whatnot. And I liked his vibes, and he's someone who wants to improve himself. And we've kind of just stayed in touch. So he's done things like consult for some of the national teams in Mexico. You're from the States, but moved to Mexico a little while ago. You translate for places like RP Strength, Renaissance Periodization. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. I'm a big Mike Isatel fan. So I think when we first chatted, you were at like 3,000 followers-ish. Now you're at 13. So plus 10K followers since our first conversation. So this guy's been absolutely crushing it, doing everything. I can't even keep track, but super diverse kind of experiences. So I'm excited to, amongst all that stuff, kind of learn more about the guy behind all of that. So just a brief little background, not to turn this into a therapy session, I say, but like, what were your folks like? As I'm a big believer in nurture over nature, but just tell me a little bit about your folks.
Yeah, man. So we grew up with our mom and dad. Well, I grew up with my mom and dad. I have two siblings, an older brother and sister. I'm the youngest. My family moved from Mexico to the United States around the 90s. And that's, I was born in Oregon because my dad had studied abroad. So he met people in Oregon. So that's why he made the transition. Specifically about them, my mom's a Christian. She's very supportive, a very calm person, but someone who will also call you out. And that was one of the things I really learned from her and still learn. Like, I remember, like, if something bad could have happened at school and I was involved, like, most parents would be like, oh, no, my son wouldn't do that. My mom was the opposite. She's like, I think it was my son, you know?
Wow.
So she would never, like, try to cover those things up. Or sometimes someone like, hey, you know what? This happened in school. We might believe it's your son. And then she'd just be like, probably was, you know, let's go talk to him, very direct. So those were like one of the things about her I really liked. My family got separated. My dad actually got in a lot of trouble. Without exaggerating anything, like even like if retired like FBI agents that started working for like insurance companies, because he, how do you say that, he faked his own death. So they would like, he was trying to get some insurance things, and we hadn't seen him in so much time, and it still affects us to this day. Like my brother, because he was born in the late 80s, he was born in Mexico. So even my brother has tried to get his visa to go to the United States like 5 times, and it's always been rejected. Like the third time they directly just asked him like, hey, where's your dad at? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, oh, so you don't love your dad? He's like, it's not that I don't love him. He just abandoned us. And like, okay, so when you got news about your dad, you want to share it to us? We'll talk about your visa. And completely just shut him down. He just went like month ago. They didn't even look at his what he's doing right now. They didn't look at anything, just shutting it down. So it still affects us to this day. He did some frauds. He did other things. He faked his death. And so he wasn't really a good role model. We actually use him as an example right now, because right now we study a lot. We study the Bible. We're Christians. Me and my family, we get together and try to put it into our everyday practice. And we really use it as a model of like where society is going, where we're going, all the mistakes we do, and how not having a proper role, proper, you know, father role in our life has actually affected us a lot, you know, and it's broken us down. So how we have to rebuild based on that. On the flip side, my mom was awesome, but still you can't get the job done by yourself, having three kids, teenagers, living in Mexico. Economically, we weren't really good. With my dad, we were. Thanks to divorce, my mom was able to get a couple houses, so that helped her at least be stable, you know, grow up in a good environment. Nothing too fancy, but, you know, all good. So that's them, man. I'm in contact with my mom almost every day. Still that, you know, guidance friend, but still calling me every day like, oh, remember, you got to get that, you know, surgery, because I don't sleep very good at night. When are you going to get that surgery? Just bugging, you know, still.
Yeah, yeah. Total mom son, stuff. Well,
exactly. Like, hey, you got to get that done. You got to get that done. He's like, I know it pisses you off. I call you every day about that. But hey, it's my role. So
yeah.
Still got my mom involved in my life. We get together, our family right now, we're all living here in Guadalajara, Mexico. So we get together at least all of us like once a month, have a, you know, barbecue, get something to eat, whatever.
Sweet. Yeah. Super, super cool. I appreciate you sharing more stuff that I didn't know in the times that we've chatted that I learned before we started recording and during recording, which is the cool part about my podcast, as I'm sure, you know, the positives of your mom, as you were describing her, I could totally see like the chill, calm vibes, but like drop the hammer when you need to. But then also exactly. Some of the cons on the flip side also inform kind of how you handle your business. So next, like what is that a big moment kind of your childhood, which is one of those things that as I kind of gave some context to this question, like in the moment you're like, it kind of is what it is. And looking back, like when I was the top popcorn seller, that's probably where my entrepreneurial mindset comes from. But one of those moments from when you were a little bit younger that looking back was super, super impactful.
So honestly, like very young, I can't get anything off, you know, this, I can't think of anything right now. But as we talked about a little before I started recording, when I was 18 is when I found out that my wife was pregnant with our oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. And at those moments, I was studying film school and very bad paid. I was only there for like a year, year and a half. And I made a huge mistake. At the same time, I believe it in general, it came out to be positive because I learned so much from the experience. But I got involved in things I shouldn't have in Mexico and the United States. So I was incarcerated for a couple of years in federal prison. Then some people be like, oh, what do you do? Da, 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 you know, but it was just, the word just is incorrect because just makes it sound small, but it was involved with drug smuggling. So I got incarcerated for possession with intent to distribute narcotics. And when I was locked up, I used to think only about myself. And I used to think like, oh, if I'm doing this, if something bad happens to me, well, I'm going to pay for it and I'll just assume my responsibility. But that's when I noticed like getting letters from my mom every day. And it was like, my mom is every day suffering, you know? And she would tell me like, wow. Every day at night I go to sleep. And then my wife was pregnant months before our baby was born. And just certain things just started like connecting. Like, for example, my daughter was going to be born a certain day. And because they would charge me $1.50 per each minute on the phone, that's, you know, that's $20 a call. when you're not producing money, you know, plus you have to get your food and things. It's kind of like, you know, we controlled our, hey, I'll call you this day, you know, make sure, is that a good time? So we can talk on the phone, me and my wife, my family, et cetera. And my daughter was going to be born, I don't know, in a couple of days. And I just started feeling, one day I was just starting feeling like anxious, like it was, I don't know, just for an example, daughter's going to be born on Saturday. It's a Tuesday. I'm not even supposed to call my wife until Thursday, but I'm like, I have to call her. I need to call. I called and my daughter had just been born like an hour before the call.
Wow.
So just kind of those things that for me, it's like, all those type of things kind of weird, but then you start putting it together. It's like that had never happened to me. And the day it happened, my daughter was born, you know? So, but going back to that experience or pivotal things for me is my experience there was seeing how selfish we are as humans, or we tend to be. And we think about each other and all my inmates and bunkies and people like that that were there incarcerated with me. It was always like just wasting so much time, just playing cards, just acting a fool, not trying to do anything. People used to make fun of me because I used to read magazines. I found that Muscle and Fitness magazine, and I found the, do you want to become an ISA certified personal trainer? Commence your career. And that's when I called my wife. I'm like, hey, can you buy me this certified personal trainer course? They sent me my book and I started studying. And wow, I finished it so fast because I was just all day, you know, so much time available. And then like, oh, you know, continue your career, strength and conditioning, oh, nutrition, oh, this. And then it's like, hey, this is actually part of the International Sports Science Association bachelor's degree. And those times was only associate's degree. Then they pass on to a bachelor's. Now they have the master's. Mm-hmm. So I just noticed everyone be like, oh, so this time they caught me with this many kilos. Next time, another prisoner, you know, I'm going to sell 10 times more, and just all that mentality. And I'm like, you know, your family's waiting for you. Your kids are waiting for you. And that's your mentality. So for myself, that was like a big change when I said these years in here, I have to get prepared all the time I'm wasting because I'm not outside producing. Mm-hmm. I have to make this fundamental. And basically something I always used to tell myself is every time you're, how do you say that word? The word is procrastinating. Mm-hmm. Every time you're procrastinating, every time I was procrastinating, I felt like I was letting down my family, mm-hmm. my daughter, my wife. So for me, that's something I do today. Like even today, like my wife, I tell her like, hey, if you ever see me on the phone and I'm just watching stupid videos that catch your attention, call me out at the moment. Most times I'll call myself. I'll be like, bro, I've been watching dumb videos for a couple of minutes. What am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, like this has no point. Of course, I'm not saying you can't have fun, but I'm saying like, hey, if you have something to do, then we should start taking care of that and then have time for fun, family, mm-hmm. this and that. So I think one of the foundational like skills or beliefs that I got from that experience was, man, time is just so important. What we do with it, and procrastinating for myself is, of course, you're failing your own belief systems, you're failing yourself. But for me, that I have third kid coming on the way, wife, my daughter is 10 years old, you know, about to be 11, is like, I can't fail them. Of course, I have to think about myself also, but I just see as a bigger picture of now I think about my mom, now I think about my family, when it used to be just, what do I want to do? What's going to benefit me? So that's one of the things I would say that is something that still pushes me today, because now these days it's like, oh, how can I become a better coach? Hey, I get this job offer. Like, for example, I got this awesome job offer, but I can't say yes to it because it's going to help me in certain things, but it's going to take me away from my family. So I'm like, I don't want to be away from my family. This can be a faster route, but I know I can still make something bigger if I just do it on myself. I just have to work harder. You know, it's not there on the plate for me. Just I got to be that top popcorn seller in the rain, you know?
Hey, yes, sir. And being chubby too helps. Being that chubby kid in the rain definitely helped me sell a little bit extra popcorn. But super, super wild, man. Absolutely wild. I'd be interested to hear some of those details off air, but... Yeah. To have outside responsibilities, I think is so impactful to bring out the best. The best
100%, of you. 100%, man.
Yeah.
It's so wild the difference in attitude, economical status, even for myself, even educational status or things like that, when I compare myself to most of my colleagues from school, like people who went to high school with me, it's just such a different thing. And it's mostly those who don't have kids. And I tell everyone, I'm like, I think I would continue messing up and going down the wrong path if it wasn't for that anchor of my family guiding me, pushing me in a sense to be better in almost every way.
For sure. Yeah. It makes,
not,
makes sense.
Not to say that everyone needs that. Right. Mm. Like, of course you're doing good. You can do awesome even without it, but just saying some people like B that I was completely, you know, going a different incorrect path, those type of things put me back into place or a better place, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool story. Yeah. Sorry.
No, what's crazy is that it was fun because, like, not fun, but when I was incarcerated, like when I was going to get sentenced, it was weird because, like, everyone would go and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a good person, I did this wrong. And when I went, you know, I said, you know what? I'm a stupid person. Because only a stupid person could have done that. And I can say my daughter was about to be born and I didn't have any money and this and that. I'm like, but hey, people are in way worse situations and they don't do these type of stupid things. So I just apologized and I told the judge, Marina Garcia Marmolejo is her name.
Wow.
I said, I still, yeah. And I remember because it impacted a lot because I told her, you're going to hear about me, but you're going to hear good things about me. And federal law goes by numbers. A lot of people don't know that. There's something you do, gives you a certain level. It gives you a range. Normally, when you're first time conviction, there's no violence, no guns, you get the minimal sentence, right? So I was going to get the minimal sentence. And I was like, oh, yes, I'm going to get this much time. And when she sentenced me, she went below the guidelines. Like, she broke the guidelines. She went a year below. And I was like, okay, this is crazy. But then during incarceration, I started teaching Spanish classes. I started teaching, when I started studying, I started training like people and, you know, like elders, elderly people. I started taking them out to walk and started training them. And I started getting like little diplomas from the institution of like how I was helping people and doing things. And I just started sending them over. I would just send them over to the court where the Marina Garcia Marmolejo was. I was finishing studies. I was doing all those type of things. And when I moved, and I think this has to be with the next kind of topic we're going to talk about, but very quickly, when I came back to Mexico, I came back illegally. I came to Mexico and I had probation with supervision for 5 years, and I broke it after like a year. But the issue was I broke it because, like, I'm doing everything good to be with my family, but because my daughter was born in Mexico and my wife came in with a passport as a visiting passport, you know, not to stay and not to work. They were asking her to leave to Mexico for a year and a half, and do the process to bring her back with her green card. And for me, it's like, now you're asking me, I'm doing everything good, I'm working, I've been, you know, but now you're asking me to stay without my daughter that I barely have her in my hands for the first time after years. I wasn't there with her when she was born, and I can't do this. So I was talking to probation officers, trying to get everything. And it was like, no, your wife has to leave. Your daughter has to leave. Like, well, they can keep your daughter here, but, you know, she's not going to be without her mom. It's like, I'm not going to create that separation. So we took the decision of coming back to Mexico, knowing that I could never go back to the United States. However, when they came to court, I wrote a letter to the judge. I'm like, I'm sorry, I broke the law again, but I honestly believe me breaking the law did not affect anyone. I'm not doing anything like actually incorrect against someone, but you have to understand, I'm a U.S. citizen that has been living the last years in Mexico. He has his family over here. And now you want to put me to live in the middle of nowhere with no one I know and separate me from my family. And I've done everything right now to be back with my family. So I'm sorry. I apologize. And they pardoned me. The judge pardoned me. And it was funny because he was like, oh, but you have to come down to sign to court. And then a friend asked me for these like jars that they sell in Mexico, like handmade. So I brought them the jars. Of course, there's nothing in them. That didn't worry me because I bought them and I took them down. But I went across the board like, so what are you doing here? I'm like, well, I have probation. You have a permit to be outside of the country? I'm like, well, no, but yes, but that's why I'm here. And they had me, they handcuff you. They handcuff you when they have like in a holding room, and they had me there for like an hour. And I started crying. I'm like, they cheated me. They lied.
Yeah, yeah. That was my first thought, was like, oh, yeah. Just come back. Yeah, just sign.
Yeah. Well, my lawyer was like, no, man, they can't do that. It's no, like, here's the thing. You just have to come to sign that they can't do that. That would be illegal. Da, da, da. I'm like, okay, I'm trusting my lawyer. But I was like, man, they got me. I'm like, this is so dumb. I'm trying to do things right, and now I'm screwed again. But hey, no, they just had to look through the things and let me go. I signed the paper, and I was completely off of probation.
Dang, dude. Wild, wild. So I guess that answered a few of my questions, which was based on that kind of, you know, from 0 to 18, I guess, to what, 21? How you got into fitness, I guess that question got answered. Super cool and interesting. And then going back to Mexico.
The real answer getting into fitness was actually a racist comment from a African-American, Black, whatever, friend of mine that they used to train, and I didn't like to train. And then there was one that was just like loudmouth all day. And he was like, man, you should come train with us. I'm like, why? He's like, oh, Mexicans, man. Mexicans have strong backs. And I'm like, what do you mean they have? We're like, why? Like, yeah, from crossing the river. But we were friends. I just laughed it up. Like, I'm like, okay, I got you. So I started training, and my only goal at that time was to beat him, like lift more than him, be stronger than him, just try to push him. It started as a joke, him being like, of course, he didn't do it in a bad way. He was just joking around, playing around. But that was the actual reason I started lifting weights. Oh. And then I started reading magazines, and then all my friends, I was training with like super buff, super big. And they're like, oh, as soon as you stop training, teaspoon of honey, that way, you know, the protein's getting faster, only 30 grams of protein, and your mackerel and tuna. And I started following this thing, but I started reading magazines like, oh, Don Jose Antonio found, you know, the researcher from Florida that 30 grams isn't actually like the limit. You can take more. We really don't know. So I started questioning the people I was training with, like, hey, man, like, well, you're saying this, but I've been reading this. What's up? And they'd be like, nah, man, look at these guns. Like, who's bigger? Come on, man.
I think that there is truth to that. You know, like to bro what? Science, like they're doing something right.
Oh, yeah, to a certain point. But it doesn't mean that you can just like throw out the trash science.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But that started making me want to learn, like, okay, why is he saying this? Why is he saying that? Where is the middle ground? What's going on? Or what are the external factors affecting the results? Mm. So that's when I started looking at the magazines, reading, and then getting into actual training.
Cool. And that takes us to now. So hopefully I did a decent job at the beginning. I go for a concise intro, but if you had to give a quick kind of bullet list point of everything you've done in this field, so like you translate for RP Strength, which I think is super cool. Some of the people that you've like consulted for, I know you put on conferences and stuff, but in your own words, if you could just give us like a quick bullet point summary about what you got going on now.
Yeah, man. So from translation point, I not only translated a book from Paul Gamble, a strength and conditioning book, which actually I have it. I'm using it right now to make the microphone even taller because it's a thick book.
Someone with a nice mic. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, I copied. Remember the first time we talked, I'm like, man, you sound so good with that mic.
It does make a difference.
I got to get one. Yeah. So we did this book right now. It's the most, well, it's always, I don't know if always, but every time I check, it's top 10 sold books in sports performance and like rehab medicine related to sports in Spanish on Amazon. So it's been doing very good. It's been that sometimes we're number one in all Amazon in sports related topic in Spanish. So I've done that book. I did the RP, scientific principles of hypertrophy training. I was actually working on the Brett Bartholomew's conscious coaching book.
Oh, cool.
But we had an issue there. They said yes, we started doing it. And then out of nowhere, they launched that, oh, the book was about to come out. And I'm like, what's going on? And then it has another company. I'm like, hey, you guys told me yes, I've been working on it. Like, what's going on? And they changed some people in their companies. Miscommunication was actually funny because everything they talk about is communication, you know, concise and clear. I was like, whoa, like I offered, you said yes, you gave me permission to start working on it. I started working on it. Where was the communication to tell me, hey, stop investing your time in that? But we talked it out. Everything's good, man. I think he's a very good guy. And I genuinely believe everything was just, you know, mistaken communication within their team. I'm almost done with Paul Gamble's second book. I have like 90% of, you might know him, Brian Mann's book on velocity-based training.
Yeah.
I'm about to be done with that. And I also have a book from, I forgot the name of the author. That's so bad on me. On nutrition for MMA. He was actually working with the UFC Performance Institute. So we do that on the translation side. We also translate MASS, monthly application of strength sports, with Eric Trexler, Greg Knuckles, Eric Helms, Mike Surdos, which is awesome. He's in Florida also. Greg Knuckles is out of MASS right now because of their app and other projects. But anyway, we work on that translation-wise. Education-wise, we have our own Apex Performance Institute, which we also have our Apex Performance Training Center here in Guadalajara. And for different, we teach for different associations, schools, colleges, things like that. And we've mentored or taught in that sense from small teams. We have people from different professional teams studying with us, or to the point where, for example, Mexico's soccer team will hire us, their national team, to coach the coaches so they can work and apply better training to the athletes, right? And training-wise, we've worked with so many athletes. For example, the Mexican fighter, Alexa Grasso, who just won the first Mexican champion in the world. For her first fight for UFC, she was training with us. So we worked with her. Right now, she's not working with us. But her first two professional fights in UFC were done with our team. And those times our team was called M3. So we had a different name. But anyway, we also had the Brandon Moreno, the first Mexican to ever be a UFC Mexican champ. We also worked with him. Bilal Muhammad, he must be number 3 and number 4, the welterweights. We worked with him. The Ultimate Fighter winner, Martin Bravo, UFC fighter, worked with him also. Horacio Gutierrez, we had a couple UFC fighters. We weren't completely invested with them when they were champions, but we were able to work with people who became champions in the UFC. We have a fronton. I don't know how you say fronton. Is that how you call it? Like, kind of like tennis, but against the wall. I don't know the name.
Squash?
No, what's fronton in?
Might be squash.
Fronton in English? Called fronton, I think.
Where it's like four walls, yeah. And then tiny ball. Racquetball.
Yeah, I guess like a big green wall most of the times.
Oh, is it just one wall?
It's a wall to the front and to the side, and it's long. It's like back and front, and then it's open on one side.
With the things on their hands?
Some of them have the paddle is different, so there's like different modalities. But anyway, we have a girl that's the world champion in that sport. We have some of the players for the Mexicans rugby national team. We've had professional soccer players. We have boxers right now that are going awesome. Next one's pretty much has to fight for a world championship right now. So from boxer, we have IBF, International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation, gold medalists. Combat Jiu-Jitsu, gold medalists. We've worked with Olympians. So it's very diverse. We have a man that's one of the only in Mexico, only three in Mexico, it's called a Pentra Ultra Ironman.
Oh.
So it's basically like five, I think it's five Ironman. Pentra would be five, right? It's five Ironmans all back to back. So you do it like in 3 days. So it's just, so it's just a killer. And then he did like he did a marathon every day for 10 days. He's like 60 years old, just like pushing super hard. So yeah, so we have kids in, you know, development. We have professional players, different sports. So it's kind of cool to see. The thing that surprised me the most is that in general, most of them train very similar. Like most people think that it would be just so different. And it's like, man, we need, most of them have, you know, most of the programs are very similar in different senses. of course, the boxer's not going to be sprinting like the rugby athlete, right? Like rugby athlete is going to be sprinting more, but more like the strength training is a lot more similar than it could be different. So it's basically that, man. We have the education side, we have the hands-on side, work with athletes, and then we have like the other translation side. So it's kind of it's fun to I like the translation because it makes me study more. It makes me read a book and really get into the book, and you know, the hands-on, you know, take that knowledge we get from studying, see how it works, how we can adapt it. And then teaching, being able to put all those together and help other people with things they might have in need.
I was going to say with the translation, it's getting paid to learn. So that's pretty sweet.
Exactly. And the cool thing is, honestly, is at the end of the day, it's like you make income of it off of it every month. And now you're not doing anything. You know, it converts into passive income. But it also helps your name, you know, like when as soon as people in Mexico see your name with RP, it kind of makes you stand out.
That just jumped out to me. Yeah, RP is legit.
Yeah.
But we're coming up on our 40 minutes here, which I think is a good thing. Maybe Destiny and Zoom have me be a little bit more concise as a host, but a bunch of stuff, a bunch of cool stories. So I appreciate you pulling the curtain back and sharing a little bit, but where can my listeners get more of you?
Hey man, so just on mostly just Instagram, Coach Aaron Stein, my last name. I guess I might be tagged somewhere, or just people can spell my.
Yeah,
we were even talking about like how do you pronounce it? I'm like, how do I pronounce it? Or how's it pronounced? Because I don't know how it's pronounced.
Awesome, that'll be in the show notes, and I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your awesome stories.
Thank you, man.